welcome to The Last Track, where we help people showcase the last track of their life story in their final wishes. I am your host, Brian Norris, the co-owner of Bateman Funeral Home in Newport, Oregon. Just like a song can bring you back to a day, a time, and a memory, so too can a well-planned service. Today, we're doing some follow-up questions to what I couldn't get to at my chamber presentation. And getting started, here are some questions that we didn't get to or we need to make sure we clarify. One of the questions is if you make a pre-arrangement, does it have to be followed? In the state of Oregon, and I touched on this really briefly, in the state of Oregon, if you make a pre-arrangement and you pay for it and you give it to the funeral home, the funeral home, yes, indeed, is to follow those wishes. Now, the touchy question gets into is, will your family want to follow those? Because they have the right to make any adjustments or changes to your pre-arrangement that you have. So, for example, most of the time, and I'm going to say probably 95% of the time, the family will want to add a few things that you didn't put in, because most of the time people want to put in the basic information into their pre-arrangement. But the family can add, like a lot of times, maybe they want to add service folders or they want to add a video or those types of things. And most of the time they can just add right to it and then just pay the difference. In the 5% of the time, somebody can go in and make a complete, unless it was made irrevocable, they can do a complete change to your plan. And if you wanted to be buried, they could actually do a cremation. So first off, make sure you know who's going to be taking care of your final arrangements. Second, if you make it irrevocable, as some people say, but irrevocable, then those things really can't be changed. The other thing you can do, and we talked very briefly on this, is you can make an appointment of another. So, for example, if your spouse is the one that's supposed to do the arrangements, you can technically and actually, you can go in and you can appoint a specific person. So if you don't want your spouse to have to deal with it, you can appoint maybe one of your children, your best friend. If you don't have a spouse and you don't have any children and you want to make sure that it gets taken care of, and there's a lot of people in that situation, appoint somebody. Or the court will appoint someone. You can actually appoint your best friend. And a couple more things. Who is a next of kin? And we very briefly touched on some of that as well in that conversation with the chamber. And in the state of Oregon, it starts out as spouse first. If there isn't a spouse, you go to children over the age of 18. So if you have one or two children over the age of 18, those would be the people that would be your legal next of kin. If you have a 17 or a 16-year-old, they're not legal age of majority yet in the state of Oregon. And so they're not technically your legal next of kin. If you don't have children over 18, you go to any surviving parents. If there are no surviving parents, then you go to brothers and sisters. If there aren't any brothers and sisters, then you go to aunts and uncles and cousins, and you get into that part of a gray area. And if they still don't have any of there, then you do get finally down to an executor of your will. And then if you don't even have that, then there's still some more hierarchy, but you can take a look at that as well. That is actually found in ORS.97 or ORS 97.130, and you can find that in those Oregon rules of statutes of laws. Now, I just had a brief thought about that as well. Sometimes you get people coming in here and they're saying, well, I'm the executor of the will. I take precedence over everything. And they might be a brother or a sister. It doesn't trump a brother or a sister. An executor is like number 7 in the hierarchy. So, again, appointment of another takes care of everything, and it supersedes absolutely everything And I'm not pushing it, but I am saying if you're in that type of a situation, get that document taken care of. Last thing I'm going to talk about is if you've already paid for pre-arrangements, does that make a difference? Well, yes, it does. When you pay for a pre-arrangement or when you pay for your services in advance, most of the funeral homes will either have it either in an insurance policy or they'll put it into a trust. Make sure you ask. There is a difference. But make sure that they don't just keep it and put it into a bank account. In the state of Oregon, that must be either in a trust, a third-party trust, or in an insurance policy. And you need to ask, is it guaranteed or not guaranteed? 90-some percent of the funeral homes in Oregon are going to be guaranteed. If it says not guaranteed, that means you've paid them some money, but they're not guaranteeing that the prices won't go up. When they're guaranteed, your prices for the services that are provided by the funeral home, they're guaranteed not to increase in price. So that means in today's world, if you did a direct cremation with our funeral home, it's $995. We're not going to charge any more for that, even if it's 15 years from now and it's $3,000. That is what you're locking in. The non-service things, so for example, church services, like if you like a cantor or somebody playing the organ or a pastor or a priest for the honorarium, those kinds of things that we can't control, those we can't control, but you can place money towards that. But yes, if you do a prepay, they are guaranteed and they're locked in and we give it to a third party trust. You can also, if you go into the valley or some other state, they're transportable. They're completely portable and can go with you. Those are the main questions that we had after my chamber presentation.